Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. It's Monday, June 1st, 2020. It's Hear the Turtle presented by Toyota. And Keith, we bring on another Maryland head coach this week. One of our favorites, I would say, and one of the favorites of many in the athletic department because he is such a good dude. The head coach of the Maryland volleyball program, Adam Hughes, known for his coffee drinking, which I think he sounds like he's like, okay, enough about the coffee. But he loves talking about coffee, loves talking about his program. And a weird time for them. We've obviously talked to a bunch of different coaches in a bunch of different situations. Volleyball was in the middle of their spring season, which much like a sport like football, and as Adam Hughes talks about, he's installing offense, defense, testing out lineups, things like that. They were also scheduled to go on a foreign tour this summer, which is, he says, they were going to be about 10 days away, a little over a week out from going on. And as someone that went on a foreign tour with men's soccer a couple of years ago,
had the opportunity to go with men's basketball.
With basketball, those are very valuable experiences. Men's soccer won a national title, and a lot of the chemistry that they built going into that year was built on that foreign tour. So you feel bad for Adam Hughes on that. But they're trying to make the best of their situation right now as they build towards the 2020 season.
You know, it's funny. I look back, our second interview during quarantine was with Mike Loxley, who was the only other fall sport coach that we've talked to during this period. We've talked to some winter sport coaches, spring sports, what have you. So this is the first time to talk to a coach who his season's supposed to tip off here in 3 months, less than, you know, in terms of practice, getting back to training camp, all of those things. So, you know, this is the time where, you know, Adam Hughes is usually gearing up for, all right, here's our schedule, here's our season. Now there's this kind of unknown curveball thrown into his situation with the outbreak of COVID-19. So it was interesting just to kind of hear how he's compartmentalizing all these different things and how he's kind of using the resources that he has at Maryland to keep his team together, keep them united during this period.
Yeah, and you can tell he's chomping at the bit just in general to get back on the court. A little bit of a disappointing season last year for Maryland volleyball. Coming off Coach Hughes' first year where they almost made the NCAA tournament, really one of the best seasons in Maryland volleyball in over a decade. They come in to last year, bring a lot of that team back, think, okay, we're going to take that next step, get to the tournament. As he talks about, struggled a little bit in the early season at a conference. And when you're Maryland, you've got to get those wins in early because you know how much of a grind that Big Ten schedule is going to be. But if you have the win total up at that point, those Big Ten losses don't really hurt you. So if you can win enough conference games like they did 2 years ago, you can be in the conversation with a losing conference record with, you know, around 17, 18 wins. They didn't get up to that. They do bring a lot of that team back again. They've been young for, it seems like, forever. And then a very talented recruiting class, a top 20 recruiting class coming in. But as you said, Keith, a lot of uncertainty for him and the rest of these fall sports coaches. You talk about your Sasha Sarovskis, your Ray Leones, Missy Mahargs. You know, a lot of obviously all the talk is about football in terms of the revenue and all that stuff. But these other fall sports coaches aren't sure what's going to happen for them. And, you know, Adam Hughes and his girls want to get back on the court and sort of right the wrongs of what they went through last season. But Adam Hughes is a great guy, loves Maryland, young family, loves the area. And has an awesome recruiting pitch with the area that he is now in and the great conference that the Big Ten is. Same thing we talked about last week with Alex Clemson. So without further ado, let's get to the head coach of Maryland volleyball, Adam Hughes.
As the University of Maryland celebrates the start of another athletic season, Maryland Athletics is excited to announce the launch of Terps 10,000, our campaign for a goal of 10,000 Terrapin Club members. Individuals who join the Terrapin Club during the campaign and become new members will receive a Maryland Terrapin Club branded flag to proudly fly at your home, office, or tailgate. All current members are eligible to receive a flag by donating an additional $55 to the Terrapin Club. Plant your flag at terps10k.com.
We're back here on Hear the Turtle with the head coach of the Maryland volleyball program, Adam Hughes. And first of all, coach, we ask this to everyone. What are you doing right now during quarantine? We were just talking pre-show. You're saying you're just moving from Zoom call to Zoom call.
Yeah.
Not a lot else to do at this point.
No, I mean, the good news is I moved. I moved from Riverdale or into Riverdale Park. So I've had a lot of time to do some remodeling around the house. And the weather being good has been helpful. But yeah, it's an interesting time in college athletics for sure. You know, I think changes so quickly. You know, you get new updates every week on what you're allowed to do, not allowed to do. So surprisingly, we're keeping really busy, to be honest with you.
I have to ask, last time we talked to you a couple of years ago when you first got in the job, your coffee consumption habits got brought up in the interview. And I have to ask, is coffee consumption at an all-time high right now? Has it dropped off with less running around, or has it stayed the same? Where are we at in the coffee addiction, maybe I can
say? So coffee addiction has stayed the same, but I would argue I've upped my game in my ability to brew home coffee. I actually got contacted by Vigilante, a local coffee shop, and you know, I was posted a bunch of social media clips, so I've been trying to support them and always you know, I'm on a weekly delivery from them. I have a package come, and I've gotten a bunch of new brew equipment. I've got a measuring thing now, so I can tell how many grams I'm putting in. So it's at times looks like I'm a drug dealer, but I swear.
What has been your go-to brew? Like, what if you had to, you know, send it out? What's the Adam Hughes signature right now?
Right now, I'm just a master of pour-overs. I mean, I've got it down to 25 grams in a cone. I've got it down to 10 seconds to build a nice foamy broth, and then trying to get to 400 grams by 2 minutes. Like, I've got it down to you. I'll have to post some of those, but yeah, I'd say it's just pour-overs at home.
It's funny, coffee obviously has been a big part of your routine when you're coaching and do all of those things. And it kind of relates back to your players. How have you sort of preached staying in routine and staying on a schedule to try to get some improvements during this time where you can't have them on the court, you don't have them in a team practice? How have you kind of communicated with your team about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, when we first got sent home and we knew we were going to have a long break, that was the big discussion, is like, how long is this going to be and how do we try to keep routines going? And I would actually say we've relied a lot on the support staff here at Maryland. Dr. Michelle Garvin has been on our weekly meetings with the team, and we are doing surveys. So every day the survey goes out and we find out what's causing our athletes the most amount of problems. Sleep has been the number one thing that we continually get over and over. You know, you lose that habit, you don't have a schedule. So we're trying to give them as much information from our nutritionists to our, you know, our sports psych people. And I think that's gone a long way to help them out.
Coach, in such an unprecedented time, how are you trying to best prepare for that return to practice or return to competition when there's still so many unknowns out there and nobody really has a straight answer right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing for us in our program was trying to reframe the situation. We were having a good spring. We have a huge roster coming back. We looked at this as a really important piece for us. And then to lose out on the majority of our spring, it's just like football. We didn't have a chance to install our offense or our defense. And to top that, we were actually, I mean, as of, 3 days from now, we were supposed to be in Europe for 10 days doing a tour. And that was going to be our chance to check lineups and, you know, see some of the other younger players play against all sorts of international players. And we looked at that as really like a team bonding experience as well. So that was a disappointment, I think, for a lot of people, not to be able to have that. And I think our big preach and things that Damon has even talked to our team about is it's only certain things you can control. And those things are out of our control. What can we do? So the NCAA has been giving us a lot of guidance on what we are allowed to do in short term. We just found out that we are allowed to continue doing team meetings. And so the staff has been quick on their feet. We're doing that virtual install. We're doing team meetings with all of our players and positions to say, hey, when we come back in August or when we come back and we get that date to start, did we do everything we could with what we can control? And that's been our message to the team.
obviously you guys coming off a season where I think you had some higher goals than where you ended up finishing. What has kind of been your message throughout the offseason, both when you were back on campus, now off campus, to how you sort of want to go into next season and improve on the things that you maybe struggled with last year?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that was challenging last year was that increase in expectations. You know, we've never really set the bar that high for ourselves. And, you know, we got out of the starting box a little bit slow. Some injuries kind of set us back. And I think it was kind of clear that we were maybe not going to achieve what we wanted to really early in the season. And so that was a new experience for us. And I think the nice thing is this group has said, you know, we're not lowering the bar because we didn't reach it. We just have to find new avenues to go reach what we want to do. And so, again, it goes back to we lost this opportunity to put in a lot of work. We need our athletes to be doing stuff at home now a lot. And, you know, it's going to be a little bit more of the onus on them and what they can do on their own time. So I would say the group is pretty excited to get back. I think all athletes right now are trying to do that. We're just trying to make sure it's the safe way to do it. And I want to make sure when they come back, they feel really confident. They did everything they could. We're not going to try to lower our standard. You know, we're still trying to raise our standing in the conference, and I still think we can do that. But what this season looks like, I think everyone's kind of curious about that.
Coach, it's funny. The last time we talked to you, you were a few months into the job. Now you're two seasons in as the head coach at Maryland. What have you learned about yourself in this role? What's kind of been some new kind of developments in your personal journey as a coach these past two seasons?
Yeah, I think looking back over that last 2 years, you know, you really have to be, I'm pretty stoic, I would say, and I have to be even more of that now. You know, it doesn't mean that you don't care and you're not interested. It just means there's always ups and downs to this process. And we try to look at the successes and not let ourselves build our ego to something that's going to put us in a bad spot. Same time, we've got to learn. You know, I learned a lot from our first year. We had a pretty successful run. It was most wins in conference play for us. And you know, I could argue we could have been in the tournament or should have been in the tournament. Last year was a down year, but I think both of them were really good learning experiences. And so, you know, we're trying to spend a lot of time on our chemistry this year. We've got a lot of people back. As I said, I think as a coach, I've learned that that really matters. And, you know, we need to spend more time doing that into this. The downside is we have to do it from all over the country now via Zoom. You know, it's a little bit more of a challenge.
As Keith talked about, 2 years into the head coaching job, but you're here as an assistant before that. So from a recruiting perspective, you've been selling Maryland for a while now. We talked to Alex Clemson last week about sort of selling Maryland in a conference where you're trying to build yourself up to the top echelon, where the top five or six teams are all competing for the national championship year in and year out.
Right.
What is that pitch for you in terms of quality and conference, but also all the unique things that Maryland offers as a school?
Yeah, I think it's kind of twofold. I think the one thing is clear that we built the presence of Maryland, and knowing that we have a great student athlete experience here. We have got great academics. We're competing on the biggest possible stage, and I think being in the Big Ten has now allowed us to explain that to not just club players and young athletes, but the people who are coaching them now know that, hey, listen, they're more relevant than they've ever been, and they're competing against the best. As you alluded, if you win the Big Ten, you're probably going to win a national championship. That's kind of where we are. I think the one thing that being here for the last 6 years, and one of my most important things to let everyone know, is that I came here with this with a group of people who had an idea that we wanted to make something that was lasting and was going to sustain and grow and find it better than what we started with. And I'm thankful that it's continuing to go, whether I'm in charge or someone else is in charge. People are still buying into that vision of growing something here. And I would say that, you know, we had a top 20 recruiting class coming in 2020. And I think that is clear. This is not a short-term thing. It's not a, you know, one-season thing. We want to be able to do this and do it right, but be able to do it for a very long time here at Maryland.
Coach, you mentioned that top 20 recruiting class, only the third-ranked class since the program began in 1975, which is a pretty incredible feat. When you think about it, you know, kind of hitting some of those stronghold areas, Ohio, California, another one from North Carolina. And talk to us a little bit about this class. What excites you about this group coming in?
Yeah, this class is actually coming from all over the country. It's another thing that I really think is important for us. And Maryland as a brand has opened us to recruit all over. You know, we've gotten kids from California now. We've been able to get to Florida. We have people from Texas. And, you know, I'm going to try to do everything I can to have Mike Locksley's DMV connection build here for Maryland as well. You know, he's obviously crushing things, but I think that's one thing we're really happy about the class and proud of, that we've been able to go out of the area just as much as we have a core from our roster that is from the DMV in this area. And they really are building a lot of depth for us. And something that I've learned over the last couple of years, you can make a plan, but if you don't have the depth, you can't sustain anything. So, you know, whether they're young or not, whether they get an opportunity to play, you never know. But I think all three of these athletes have a chance to make an impact here.
A lot of times, coach, when assistant coach becomes a head coach or someone comes into a program, you're sort of trying to create your new vision and put your stamp on it. What I've loved that I've seen just over the last couple weeks on social media, what you've always done is reconnected to the history of your own program and reached out to alums that you didn't coach or have really no association with you other than that association with Maryland Volleyball. What's it been like for you to sort of put the pride back in the program for those people and not lose sight of who the program is sort of built on, those alums, coaches and student athletes before you came?
Yeah, that's a really, really important piece of what we're doing. You know, I think everything's going to be stages. And, you know, there's a lot of people who have given to get us to where we are. And maybe they didn't get to the tournament that they wanted to. Maybe they didn't win the biggest match. But, you know, I think that's the best part. You leave it better than you found it. And you know someone in front of or behind you is going to carry that torch. And so it's been great to reconnect with a lot of our alums. And, you know, we're reading the responses, and I'm hoping people aren't going to say too much about coffee, which seems to come up a lot. I know one of our most recent Abby Ben said about running and how she has found no interest in that, but has found interest in coffee. So I'm proud of that. That's good. but yeah, you know, it's you leave a foundation, and those people are as important. When we reach our final goal and we take the next step, we'll be thankful for everyone who's been a part of this.
We've asked this to both Mark Montgomery and Alex Clemson. We've had them on during this. When you're a coach, you don't have a lot of time to get out and do stuff in the area. Maybe you have had that time now, but you've been in now this DMV area for a while now. What about it makes it unique from other places in the country that it makes you enjoy living here, especially with a young family?
Yeah, so I moved over in Riverdale. So we're on a bike path that I can take now to work. So my wife's buying me a bike, and she's convincing me that I'm going to beat traffic. She said I'll be a little bit faster. What it's been amazing for the last 6 years is to see the area grow and you know, restaurants and, you know, different support things that you have here. I came from a really small town, so it's nice to see that you have access to DC, you have access to Baltimore, Annapolis, but at the same time, you don't really have to stray that far. You have a lot of opportunities here. So I love the outdoors. The trail system here is fantastic. Yeah, I would say the one thing that has been really important during this, you know, COVID episode or epidemic is supporting the local establishments. We've been trying to do that as much as possible. You know, there's a lot of great local opportunities, and you're hoping you can help them through this process.
I'm interested just delving into your volleyball experience. Obviously, you spent time at Penn State. Sort of when did volleyball start for you growing up? What is sort of your story in the sport per se?
So I'm going to expose myself a little bit on this one. I was a big baseball player for a long time, and I was looking for a new opportunity, and there was an open gym for tryouts for this volleyball. And I walked in the door, and the coach was like, "You want to try out?" So I went through one tryout, and she told me I made the team. And I'm like, well, that wasn't very hard. And, I remember going home, talking to my parents about it, and I said, "I'll play. But I need to ask one question. Do we have to wear spandex?" Because I had no idea there was a difference between men's and women's volleyball. I was like, I'm not wearing spandex. There's no chance. And she explained that I didn't have to do that. So I played high school volleyball for a couple of years. And then I thought I was going to walk on for the men's team at Penn State. And it's crazy. I ended up being a practice player, a volunteer. I saw Penn State through so many different angles as a college kid. And I didn't know until my senior year. I was literally petrified. I thought, I've got no career opportunities. I'm going to get a business degree and no opportunities. I have no idea what I'm doing. And my mentor at Penn State, Russ Rose, told me, "What's your favorite part of your day?" And I said, "Well, coming to volleyball practice, to be honest with you," thinking I was just a smart ass, you know. And he said, "You know, why don't you volunteer for me? Treat this like a full-time job. And if you do a good job, I promise you in 6 months, I'll find you a job." And it was the best experience I've ever had. You know, I scrapped as hard as I could to see if I could make it work. And, you know, I'm blessed. I'm thankful that I did it.
When did the baseball dreams end? When did you put the bat down after you started playing volleyball?
It was literally like, so, that my freshman year, I was all in. I mean, I skipped, New Year's. I left the day after Christmas to go down to, the Red Sox training facility. They did like a 10-day camp for prospects, younger kids. So I literally was 15 years old, staying in a hotel with a friend. I was all in on baseball. And, you know, I give my parents a lot of credit. They had put a lot of money, a lot of time. As you guys know, youth sports is crazy. And I literally, one day, 24 hours, changed mine. Just decided that it was time to switch it up. And they never questioned it. They just said, are you sure you want to do this? We'll support you. And and they did. They actually helped me build a volleyball club in my hometown because there was no volleyball opportunities. So you know, I'm really thankful just my parents were able to support me, even though they spent so much money on baseball.
We need to get you out to the Bob, get some BP going here.
I'm if you see on social media, I'm all over SWO. I ask him when it's my turn. And he keeps telling me eventually. So
Swope just doesn't want to hurt his arm. He doesn't want to throw anymore. But
he doesn't want to get exposed. He doesn't want to be taken out of the park.
Yeah, he takes a step up, and all of a sudden he's dodging me. You know, I don't know. But maybe I'll go after Mark. You make a good point. Mark might maybe do some softball stuff, but I'm okay with that.
Well, then you and you got the shorter fences there, so then you can just hit tents, and then that's just you'll really impress everyone there.
I've asked him. I said, I'm hoping I can rent that facility for my birthday. I just want to do a home run.
We will be there. We'll hear the turtle.
We'll cover that
live.
There we go. Yeah.
What's that? We actually talked to Alex Clemson about this last week. What's that relationship with you guys? We in the athletic department to go behind the scenes, call it the second floor. All of the coaches are on the same floor at Maryland, which I think is pretty unique. If you look around the country, you guys are all so close together. With you as a head coach with so many successful ones like Kathy and Sasha and Missy, and then young coaches like Coach Clemson and Rob Vaughn sort of moving up the way, you know, John Tillman has been so successful. What is it like for you, and how much do you learn from all those coaches on that floor?
I can't tell you how valuable that is, especially as a first-time head coach, right? You have a few of us who have worked our way up. You know, I talked to Coach Vaughn going through the transition of being an assistant and trying to become the head coach here at Maryland, and he was fantastic. You know, and then you have people who have been around for so long, and the reason they've done that is because they keep working so hard. You know, Sasha has been a great influence just by being next door. And then there's some younger or newer coaches. I shouldn't say younger coaches, but just newer coaches that, you know, I chat with all the time. Mark gave me some incredible recruiting advice just by going through his process for 30 some years. You know, he's got great experience, whether it's here or somewhere else. So, you know, we rely on each other, I would say, a lot. You know, I know that Alex Clemson's done a really good job from a recruiting standpoint. You know, typical thing that they might ask is, you know, where do you take someone for an official visit? Or, you know, how do you guys handle an official visit for 48 hours? And it's an open policy on that floor. You know, everyone's trying to help each other out and make sure we maximize our resources. So it's a weird brotherhood, and we're obviously really well connected. But I'm really thankful we have it.
It is a fun floor to be on, even for us, coming down there and popping in all those offices. Coach, we'll get you out of here on a little bit of rapid fire. First, the show you're watching right now during quarantine.
Is this bad? I said Outer Banks. Is that terrible?
No, I've heard of the show.
I've not watched it.
I need to start
that. I have to find a balance between what my wife wants to watch and what. So, like, if I'm by myself, I'm going to watch, you know, the Michael Jordan documentaries of the world. But Outer Banks is a happy medium.
I heard it's almost like a new age OC kind of drama type show. Is that what we're working with?
I would agree. It's interesting because they're like high school kids, but the actors are like 26 years old.
Yeah, that's the norm, it seems.
Not
like
dynamic, but the story I'll take. It's good.
That's right up my alley, so I've got to start that.
Coach, we've asked you, you've given us a couple things, bike riding, the coffee habit. Any other activities you're using to fight off boredom right now? Something with the kids?
A lot of running. I'm in really good shape right now. That's the positive. You know, social distancing and in the woods and running as much as I possibly can. No, but I would say the one thing that's been great about this time is in negative, trying to find positives. Being around my family this much has been phenomenal. We travel. I probably am in a hotel room 75 nights a year. And now the goal is you create some really good habits with your family. How do you continue those when things open back up? You know, the value of having dinner or breakfast with my kids, something I don't want to lose sight on. So I think it's been real eye opening in a lot of ways. And again, I'm always going to try to find the positive. So hopefully we can keep those habits that last.
You have the young kids. We should have asked this for the show. What show are you now tired of because your kids or movie because your kids have watched it over and over and over?
Yeah. Muppet Babies is one that I don't watch again. PJ Mask. I don't even know if you know some of these names, but man,
Muppet Babies. I know PJ Mask. Now you're
starting. Yeah, I don't know that second one either. Yeah, I'm out.
PJ Mask's not bad, but like movie wise, I mean, Disney Plus was a game changer
for sure. Yeah. Nice.
Yep. But you know, I if I never have to watch Frozen 2 again, I'm good with that. That's all right. Yeah.
All right, Adam. I'm going back to the well here. Best cup of coffee you've ever had. Best grant. Like, what's kind of just in the upper echelon?
Standard bear.
I'll tell you what. Vigilante local shop was last year. I think one of the top 10 brews in the country. They went out to a championship or a tournament in I think it was Portland or somewhere out west. So I'm blessed that we've got this next door. And then I would say there's a couple on the road. You know, I feel like if you need any Big Ten trips, I've got a spot for you in each town.
The artist you're listening to right now.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to say I'm a little bit old school on this. Pearl Jam just came out with a new album.
Absolutely.
Gigatron. So, yeah,
yes.
I'm running to that a lot right now.
All right. We usually ask everybody their favorite place to eat in College Park. Now during quarantine, we're asking favorite home-cooked meal.
That's a tough one because we've been doing a lot of delivery. I feel bad saying
that. Supporting local businesses.
I'll tell you what, the one thing, so I lived in this other house for 5 years, and in the move, we found a random box that someone must have given us a long time ago, never opened, and it was a panini press. And I can't tell you how much I value that thing. We are crushing paninis right now. So I'm going to say any sort of like a chicken panini or a barbecue, some sort of a panini is probably my hot item right now.
We need to get a Cuban going up in there. That's my favorite panini. Yeah.
Cuban is solid. Very, very good. Yeah, that would be high on my list. And there's a new barbecue joint in Riverdale that's fantastic, making really good sandwiches. So 250 barbecue. That's unbelievable.
Riverdale, almost the new modern College Park down there. It's
yeah,
like so
you're right. Yeah.
So the panini press.
The hipsters are taking over. You know.
The panini press with Adam Hughes. Send him your best sandwiches, and he will make them on the panini press. Coach, thanks for giving us a bit of your time. Make sure to stay safe with the family. We can't wait till you and the girls are back out on the court. Hopefully in the fall, get back after it in the Big Ten.
I appreciate it. We're doing our best. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Back on Hear the Turtle presented by Toyota. And Keith, I think Adam Hughes might have a deal with the Riverdale Tourism Board, if that is a place that exists. I mean, he sold the area pretty well. I mean,
put him on the Chamber of Commerce, Taylor. Come on.
You and I live in Baltimore. And we love living up here. But if we were going to live at a place near College Park right now, you don't want to live necessarily in the College Park because we both went there. So it's like you feel like you're a student. But Riverdale right outside, very nice. A lot of staff members live there. Adam Hughes has taken up residence. We got to get to that barbecue place.
Yes. Was it 250 Barbecue? Was that
the
establishment?
That is what it was. Yes.
If anybody needs a recommendation for something to bring the parents to, maybe after a game, what have you, he's got the full lineup list. Any thing you're craving, I think Adam Hughes can find a restaurant to fill that craving.
Not only in College Park, but the man has traversed the Big Ten for pretty much his entire coaching career. So he also will have a good recommendation if you're taking a trip to one of those other places. The expansion of all of that stuff in College Park is very interesting. As College Park continues to grow and grow, that is one of the areas that just has all of these places popping up. I learn like about a new one every day.
Yeah.
College Park, Keith, you and I did not graduate from college that long ago. It just becomes a different place every single year, and for the better. In terms of some of the places that you can go to. But once again, thanks, Adam. I feel bad, Keith. I'm not a coffee guy. So we talk about this coffee stuff.
Yeah, I always forget that. For anybody listening, Taylor just runs on just pure, just passion for life and just juice. Just get him a cup of water, some breakfast in the morning. That's all he needs. Like a sane human being needs a little coffee to get things going. So I appreciated Adam Hughes, his recommendations and his expertise on caffeine.
It's so funny. I meant to bring it up with him. Where my office is, the window on it sees out to the parking lot in front of Xfinity. And he's always like walking from Xfinity, like with his coffee stuff or going out on a run. One of the most active people I think we have in our entire athletic department. Cannot wait to see what him and that program can do. They've got a very concise vision. And it's obviously always an uphill battle in the Big Ten, just like we talked about Alex Clemson. But you hear the passion for the kids that he has. for the ones he's bringing in and the sales pitch. And you just know that Adam Hughes is going to have that program where it needs to be. So once again, thanks to him for joining us. Two straight Olympic sports coaches for us here on Hear the Turtle. Fun to hear their perspectives. One coming off his first year, one coming off his second year in charge. I love that answer also about the second floor coaches for that. There's so much that's going on down there with all those big personalities and successful coaches. It's very fun. So thanks to Adam Hughes, and hopefully we'll have volleyball coming in August. As you say, Keith, really not that far away. But that's enough for us this week on Hear the Turtle as we continue to move through the quarantine time. Very interesting as we see sports start to come back. Sports are trickling back. We're hearing about the NHL. We're hearing about, you know, MLS, NWSL. Hopefully that is the sign of things to come in terms of sports coming back. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media channels, at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram, Sneds311 for Keith. Make sure to read a story, Keith, that you were involved in with Nick Manis, a former men's lacrosse player on
USSports.com. Yes. You'll hear this on Monday, but it was our Feature Friday edition for May 29th. Go back and read all of these Feature Friday stories, quite honestly, because they're all great and they're all in different ways. We had a graduation special. We've had ones with baseball. We've had ones with track alums who are involved in the frontline fight against this pandemic. So a lot of good things to come back in through on UMTerps.com. But yes, a really cool, touching story. Something Nick Manis did to raise money, a lot of money for Parkinson's research.
Yeah, really cool stuff from him. So that'll be on, you know, the UM Terps feed or Terps MLAX, and you can see all of Keith's other content on that channel.
I also retweeted it from Sneds311, Taylor, so there you
yes,
go.
Yes, so Sneds311 is also where you can go. You can follow me for anything you want on TaylorSmythe10, if that's something you would like to do. We'd rather you just follow Hear the Turtle, because that's ultimately what it's all about. And speaking of Hear the Turtle, it's over. So we'll see you next week.
Go Terps!